Wake up, everybody. Welcome back to Talk Black and Give Back. I am your host, Jennifer Nickerson Turner, and as we move through April, we've been focusing on National Minority Health Month. This year's vital theme, Advancing Commitments to Eliminate Health Disparities, calls us to directly address the persistent and unacceptable differences in health outcomes experienced by minority groups in the United States, and especially within our Black community. Understanding these disparities requires us to acknowledge their deepening and troubling roots in historic and systematic inequalities, a legacy that continues to shape our present. These aren't just random occurrences, they are deeply interwoven with ongoing social injustices, economic disadvantages, and environmental inequalities that have consistently acted as significant barriers to achieving true health equity for Black individuals and communities. Today, we'll dive into the complex ways these factors intersect and begin to explore meaningful paths forward to bridge some of these gaps and build a healthier future for all of us. Now, for those of you who say that there are no inequalities or economic disadvantages in healthcare, let's take a quick look at some of the facts. And this is from a Black perspective, and we have plenty of examples and research data that goes to suggest the same. There are significant areas where health disparities are evident, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, maternal mortality, and mental health. Black adults experience dangerously higher rates of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and stroke, which is correlated to the constant and cumulative stress stemming from the persistent disparities in our lived experiences. These disparities, rooted in systematic racism and encompassing social injustices, economic disadvantages, and environmental inequalities, create a chronic state of stress for us all. This ongoing stress response disrupts the body's physiological processes, which increase blood pressure, inflammation, and ultimately the risk of severe cardiovascular events. In essence, the burden of navigating a society marked by inequality takes a direct and measurable toll on our hearts. Now, similar to our heart health, there is a disproportionately higher prevalence of type 2 diabetes in the Black community, which is correlated with the cumulative burden of chronic stress stemming from the persistent social, economic, and environmental inequalities. Our community often faces systematic barriers such as limited access to health or healthy and affordable food options, which contributes to poor nutrition. We have reduced opportunities for safe and accessible physical activity, higher rates of poverty and financial instability, and the constant stress of navigating discriminatory systems. This chronic stress can lead to hormonal imbalances and physiological changes that impair insulin function and glucose regulation, directly increasing the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Now, therefore, the elevated rates of diabetes in these communities are not solely due to individual lifestyle choices, but are deeply rooted in the ongoing impact of systematic inequalities on their daily lives and overall well-being. Now, the mental health and well-being of Black Americans are overwhelmingly impacted by the relentless burden of economic disadvantages. We have social injustices and systematic inequalities that persist and make stressors create, which create a chronic state of stress for us, eroding our mental health, our mental resilience, and significantly increasing the risk of anxiety, depression, and other mental health challenges within our community. Now, this evidence linking racism to health disparities is expanding rapidly. A variety of both general and disease-specific mechanisms have been identified that link racism to outcomes in mental health, cardiovascular disease, birth defects, and other outcomes. And I have the statistic and the source that you can go to if you follow up on our page on talkblackgiveback.org. You will be able to find the source for this information. Okay. Now, we have a number of facts that influence our inequalities and economic disadvantages for the Black community. But I just want to touch on some of the social injustices. Well, social injustices, which are detriments of our health. We have systematic racism and discrimination. Now, this is a pervasive issue that manifests in various forms, including interpersonal biases. We have discriminatory practices within institutions, be it healthcare, education, justice systems, and we have structural policies that perpetuate the inequalities in our community. It leads to chronic stress, unequal treatment, and limited opportunities within the Black community. We have residential segregation, which historically that was known as redlining, which was discriminatory housing practices. Well, it may not be called redlining now, but the thing is the same. It's just a different face, a different name. When you have areas that Black people cannot afford to be in, and you have areas that they have gentrified and white people can only afford to be there, then essentially that is the same form of it, redlining. It is with the same intention, okay? Because you have a economic disparity here that's also prevalent in the Black community. And it contributes, concentrates Black communities to under-resourced neighborhoods, which limit access to quality education, healthcare facilities, healthy food options, safe environments. The list just goes on and on. But also, unequal access to quality education is another social injustice that we can contribute as a detriment to our health. We're looking at where quality education, we have disparities in school funding, resources, teacher quality, in predominantly Black neighborhoods that lead to lower educational attainment. So we're not graduating, we're dropping out of school, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, not finishing school. We just don't have the same, we have limits to future economic opportunities and health literacy. When your education is limited, then so is your literacy. Okay, so the health literacy piece is another social detriment. Then we have biases in the healthcare system. Now, this includes implicit bias among healthcare providers, leading to differential treatments, diagnosis or misdiagnoses, and a lack of culturally competent care. Studies have shown that Black patients are less likely to receive adequate pain management or have their concerns taken seriously. Now, this was, I actually was present on a case study where a Black man went in for treatment for sickle cell. And we know, if you know about the disease, in which our healthcare providers definitely should know about the disease, they know that people with sickle cell are typically, they have to have pain management because it's painful. And the doctor in the case study told the resident that this person was just in there to get pain medicine. Now, it's perceived differently, it also amongst Black people, which is also why we really haven't in the past, we weren't victims of the opioid epidemic because most of the time they don't even prescribe us what we need for pain management. So we might be more likely for street drugs or alcoholism because, again, it's just social detriments for our health. You know, we don't get the quality care that we need. And then we have policies over policing and mass incarcerations that contributes to a significant social and economic instability within our communities, impacting our mental health, our family structures, and access to employment and health care upon release from the penitentiary or this incarcerated state. Okay, then we have historical trauma. That is definitely a social detriment to our health when I know my father and his brothers, my aunts, they're all to the age where they just do not trust the healthcare system. And they lived in a time where the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow laws, where ongoing racial discrimination has created a deep-seated trauma within our community. So it contributes to mental health, mental and physical health issues across all generations. You have a lack of misrepresentation and power, limiting representation in political positions, making decisions or decision-making bodies that result in policies that do not adequately address our specific needs and concerns as Black in the Black community. And then microaggressions. Day to day, we have subtle everyday slights and indignities communicated to us in a hostile kind of environment, derogatory or negative message to people of color that contributes to chronic stress and poor mental health over time. So this constant state of being Black is not good for our health in a sense. And we don't trust the medical system again. Let's go back. It stems all the way back, not only Jim Crow laws, but also historical abuses like the Tuskegee syphilis study, the Tuskegee experiment, and ongoing experiences of biases. That created a mistrust that leads to our delayed care, or we avoid medical treatment altogether just because we don't trust the system. So we need to do something where, I guess you gotta build up a sense of trust, build foundations that show that we can trust the people in the medical field for our care. So you need to kind of show and prove that you are here to help us, like truly here to help us. And I think that actually would come from seeing more faces that represent us, also, but that we're gonna leave that going into that for another session. But all of these topics compounded address the social detriments of health and are examples of how factors such as poverty, housing, education, access to health, foods, and environmental exposures can contribute to some of our disparities. Now, we also have economic disadvantages where there's a great income and wealth gap in our communities, where wealth is accumulated and even hoarded in other populations. But that too is rooted in historical and ongoing discrimination in employment, housing, and lending practices. Now, all of this limits access to quality health care, nutritious foods, safe housing, and other resources essential for good health. Unemployment and underemployment. We have higher rates in the Black community of unemployment and underemployment, which leads to financial instability and a lack of health insurance and increased stress. Being poor is stressful. If you cannot go to the store and get what you need, it's stressful. So, also, another economic disadvantage, we have limited access to affordable housing. Housing instability and homelessness often exasperates or exasperated by economic hardships and discriminatory practices have direct negative impacts on physical and mental health in all communities. But the food community, we have food insecurities, food deserts where Black communities are often located in areas with limited access to affordable and nutritious food options, leading to poor diets and increased risk of chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease. Ding, ding, guys. I need you all to hear me. So all of these things are compounding the fact that there are many, many detriments of health in the Black community, and that we need to focus on in ways as a community that we can improve on these situations. I mean, like you go to town, if you go to town now, you go to Food Lion in a better part, a better neighborhood, or Harris Teeter in a better neighborhood, for example, would have better access to better quality foods. And that food in those higher income neighborhoods are actually cheaper. It's actually cheaper. Now, you don't believe me? Do a comparison yourself. Go to Harris Teeter in a good community where food is actually cheaper. Healthy choices is actually cheaper. But if you go to a bad side of town where they have plenty of tobacco stores on every corner, that's super cheap. Plenty of liquor stores where the liquor is actually cheaper than it is in the good neighborhoods. Check these things out. Don't believe me. Check them out for yourself. And then say, hey, do I want to take part in this, or can I be a solution for this? So if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Okay. So then we have a lack of economic opportunity and mobility. Systematic barriers hinder economic advancement, limiting access to higher paying jobs, entrepreneurship opportunities, wealth building possibilities, all of these which impact health directly. A lack of health insurance, because higher rates of uninsurance and underinsurance within the Black community actually restrict access to necessary medical care, leading to delayed treatment and poorer health outcomes. These are all facts, guys. Financial strain and medical debt, the high cost of health care can lead to significant financial strain and medical debt, further exacerbating economic insecurity and stress. I'm not sure if you all have been in a situation where you have medical bills and they put it on your credit, and your credit report is impacted 100 points because it shows up that you don't pay your bills on time. Well, I may not have been prepared to pay a $2,000 debt to the hospital, but all of my bills are paid on time. Now, I'm raising my hand to this one because it has been a barrier to a healthy credit score throughout my life. So these things I know impact us in negative ways, but there are ways around them. So if you have any questions about any of the topic today, in healthcare and the disparities that we face, reach out to our website, and we can talk. I can give you solutions that we have been through personally within the organization or one of the members. We have feedback from all populations. So if we can be helpful, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help however we can. So, but let me finish up these economic disadvantages, because on top of the health insurance, the lack of health insurance, then we have financial strain because of these medical debts. Again, the high cost of health care leads to significant financial strains and medical debt. You have to be able to get out of, at least not have the derogatory marks on your credit from medical debt. Okay. That was something the old administration, I think, was doing, not allowing medical debt to impact your credit score. But I think this new administration has rescinded on that. So it is now something that we have to be mindful of. If you all need help again on cleaning up your credit, we have Pastor Singletary with Fruitful and Blessed Ministries is doing free credit counseling, free credit repair after Bible study on Wednesdays. So again, if you want any information, you need any information, you need help cleaning up your credit, please reach out, okay? Do not accept the resources that are out here to support you. So it's not like we're not in the position of judgment. We are in the position of helping. So tell us how we can help. Okay. Now we're going to move on to environmental inequalities, because oftentimes these are really overlooked, and it's something that we're going to try to fix with our community housing project. So we have environmental inequalities as well. So exposure to pollution and toxins, where Black communities are disproportionately located near industrial facilities like landfills and areas of high levels of air, water, and soil pollution, increasing our risk of respiratory illnesses, different types of cancers and other health problems. This is often referred to as environmental racism. Okay, we have poor housing conditions. If we're in a substandard housing or low income housing, a lot of those have issues with lead paint, mold, and even inadequate ventilation, which contributes again to respiratory problems, allergies, and other health problems. We have a lack of green spaces in residential recreational areas. So, as you look at inner cities, it's more of a challenge in the cities than it is in the countries, the rural areas. But in the cities, there's really a lack of green spaces, which limits access to parks, green spaces, safe areas for physical activity in the Black community. It restricts opportunities for exercises and ways to re reduce our stress. So if you can just go on a walk and in the quiet, in rural areas, we need to set up spaces so that more of our community can just relax in green spaces. And then climate change impacts. I think a lot of us fail to see how all of this is intertwined, but Black communities are often more vulnerable to adverse effects in climate change, even like such as extreme heat or flooding or air quality degradation, due to factors like geographic location, housing infrastructures, and pre-existing health conditions. Okay, so transportation inequality is also another one. Limited access to reliable and affordable transportation. We're often hindered from finding access to health care, especially if we live in rural areas. Okay, employment, healthy food options, and other essential resources. If we have a lack of transportation, then we have it's hard for us to get to to places that we need to be, the safe, so that we can get the safe food options or essential resources that we need. Okay. And even exposure to noise pollution. Living in densely populated or inner cities, like I say, industrialized areas lead to higher levels of noise pollution, which contributes to stress, sleep disturbances. Again, we're back on cardiovascular issues. So, and then even infrastructure neglect. Underinvestment in infrastructures in communities, such as the Black community, can result in issues like inadequate sanitation, waste management problems, exposure to environmental hazards. Now, I do know, where is it at? It's Alabama. It's a part of, I think it's around Montgomery somewhere, where you actually have the Black neighborhood that's impacted, deeply impacted by waste, where waste management, they actually have sewage in their yards. And this is something that, the city has been supposedly fixing, but they don't get around to it. It causes us health issues, and they put it on the back burner. So we really need to pay attention to all the ways that we're negatively impact our health is negatively impacted. Because it's crucial to understand that these injustices, disadvantages, and inequalities are interconnected and often compound each other, creating a significant burden on the health and wellness of the Black community. So, addressing these disparities requires multiple approaches that tackle the root causes of systematic community and individual levels. Okay. Now, we have a call for and a commitment for action. Now, Talk Black and Give Back is actively addressing some of the multifaceted health disparities within our community through impactful initiatives. Our housing community project directly tackles social and economic inequalities by reducing barriers to home ownership for lower income individuals, which we're trying to foster stability and improve your overall well-being. Simultaneously, our free mental health network, we provide crucial and accessible support. We offer mentorship, coaching, and volunteer assistance to alleviate stress often stemming from systematic inequalities. Recognizing the vital link between education and mental health, our free virtual after-school tutoring program further strengthens our community by supporting children's learning needs, ultimately contributing to improved mental and emotional well-being for our families. Together, these programs represent our commitment to creating a healthier, more equitable future for the Black community by addressing fundamental social, economic, and mental health needs. Now, to learn more about our programs, please visit our website at talkblackgiveback.org, or for any questions, assistance, or to explore ways to support our work through donations, please connect with us on our website or social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Fanbase, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Talk Black Give Back. Now, thank you for your support. And until our next episode, take good care and be blessed and wake up.